Good morning. This is the Faith Builders program coming to you from Oasis Christian Center, a family church in Smith Station, Alabama. We invite you to listen to Pastors Rock and Sharon Edmonds as they minister the Word of God to us. Our church is a non-denominational Word of Faith church. We hope that this program is a blessing to you and that you will tell your friends and relatives to tune in. Now here are Pastors Rock and Sharon.
Praise the Lord. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Isn't it a blessing that we serve a God that keeps His promises?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't He wonderful? Amen. Before we get started this morning, I'd like to ask each of you, if you will, to share this service on your Facebook page. And we want you to be a part of being used of God to get the gospel out. Amen?
Amen.
We have a short time to get the gospel out. I say that just about every week, you know, that we don't have long. And, you know, we are closer than we ever been before.
That's right.
Heard that before.
That's right.
And so, sooner than we think. Amen. And so we want to get the word of God out to as many people as possible. And we thank y'all for flowing with us in that and sharing this on your Facebook page. And those that are watching by Facebook this morning, and we ask you also if you will share this service on your Facebook page. And we welcome you today. We're honored to have each and every one of you today. And I just pray that you are blessed by this word today. You know, the word of God goes out and it doesn't return void.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to accomplish what it's sent out to do. Amen.
So amen.
Be ready. Be expecting the Word of God to do something in your life today.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So I'm going to start out this morning reading a blessing over you today. And this is what the Word of God says who you are. So
amen.
I declare over you today that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and you are reigning in life as kings here on this earth. You are sanctified, consecrated, separated from the world. I declare you are healed. Jehovah Rapha has taken sickness and disease away from the midst of you. You have a sound mind and body. You are energized, revitalized, transformed, renewed, restored powerhouses for God. The healing power of God continually surrounds you, keeps you, and preserves your entire system. I declare you are redeemed from debt, poverty, and lack. Your household is blessed and living under an open heaven. The blessings of the Lord make you rich and adds no sorrow with it. I declare you are increasing more and more, and wealth and riches are in your house. You are the head and not the tail, above only and never beneath, the lender and not the borrower. You sow bountifully and you reap a bountiful harvest on every seed sown. I declare everything you put your hands to prospers. I command finances and all resources to come forth now without delay. I declare the wealth of the wicked, the treasures of darkness, and the hidden riches and secret places come to you now. I declare the supernatural word of God is prevailing in every area of your life. You are an overcomer. You are victorious. And God always causes you to triumph in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We
Amen.
Have a mighty God, don't we?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Pastor, you want to share anything?
Well, I'm just going to pray over, you know, what Patty was saying today is she felt led to do something a little bit different than we normally do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're doing also today. We didn't know that it was going to be that way, but we knew this. You're going first today, and I'm going to go second.
That's right.
So it was just a different, the Holy Spirit just is doing it different today.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
That was just a pattern for today.
That's
so
right.
Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over the rest of this service this day. And Father, we just thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened according to the hope of your calling. We receive revelation knowledge this day. We see things we've never seen. We hear things we've never heard. And we go deeper in the Word than we've ever been. I thank You, Father, for what You're doing in each one of us as we make a drawing on Your anointing. We draw it out this day. We draw the revelation out. We draw out the answers to prayers. We draw it out on Your Spirit, by Your Spirit, this day. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So our message today is about seeing more results from prayer. Don't we all want to see more results, amen, when we pray? I want to begin in James chapter 5 and the second part of verse 16 and then through 18. And this is going to be in the Amplified Classic Edition. So James 5 and 16, the bottom part or the second part of it is the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And then 17 and 18, Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have, with feelings, affections, and a constitution like ours. And he prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heavens supplied rain, and the land produced its crops as usual. And that was a powerful prayer, wasn't it? Yes. Amen. Well, I've got good news for you today. Your prayers are powerful. Yes. They are strong. Amen. They are mighty. And you know, that word dynamic, that is a powerful word that, you know, it's, your prayers are dynamic and it's working. When you're praying, you're working. Amen. You're working something. You're not just saying words. You're working something in the Spirit. And that word dynamic, it means force, power, energy, activity, explosive. And the word dynamite comes from the word dynamic. So that is, you know, your prayers, they are like explosive dynamite. You're doing a whole lot more in the Spirit when you're praying than you think you're doing. A whole lot more. The enemy wants to make you think that your prayers are not getting past the ceiling. Well, that is a lie of the enemy, amen? That's what he does. So, you know, and I think it's very interesting that right after it talks about how powerful our prayers are, it starts talking about gives us an example of how human Elijah is. You know, he has the same feelings. He has all these the same things that we have, you know, that goes on. He was just as human as we are, but yet his prayers were powerful. They were powerful enough to stop rain for 3.5 years and then pray again and rain starts falling down. Amen? And so just know that when you are praying, that you are praying from a strong, powerful place. A place of dynamic, strong, powerful, forceful. Praise God. Your prayers are forceful. I believe the Lord was just showing us, you know, that you know, we have to when we go into prayer, we have to press through our feelings. Right. We have to press through our flesh. We have to press through those things that come against our mind, you know, saying, "Well, you know, look what you did this week. You know, you failed. You fell short." And so, you know, that's all of us. We have all fallen short in some area. And so the enemy wants to think, you can't pray, your prayers aren't going to do any good. But thank God for the blood. Amen. It's the blood that has made us righteous. That's right. It's not because we're so perfect. Elijah was not perfect. He went through the same things that we go through. He faced the same enemy that we faced. Amen? And so, you know, we have to press through those feelings and say, okay, I did wrong. I failed. I didn't measure up to the word Christian, you know. I got angry. I got in the flesh, whatever, you know. I cut over in front of somebody in traffic or, you know, whatever it may be. You know, I got frustrated on my job. Then you're going, here you go, trying to pray. and all these thoughts come to your mind, you know, and you're getting, the enemy's just beating you up, up one side and down the other. Well, we have to be like Elijah. We've got to cast those things down. All we've got to say is, God, help me. Forgive me. Help me not to, help me to do better. Yes. Amen. Help me to do better. And so then we just put those feelings aside, put that flesh aside, and we go into a powerful prayer, dynamic in its working, amen? We have to just realize, you know, we're working something in the Spirit when we pray. There is something going on, amen, when we're praying. Put our weaknesses aside. Put our failures aside, amen? And pray bold prayers. Be bold in your prayers. Hebrews 4:16 in the King James says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We go to the throne boldly. God, give me that grace. I need that mercy, God. And then we can boldly pray. Amen. Because God is full of grace and mercy, isn't He? When He forgives, He doesn't remember it anymore. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Amen. Pray bold prayers. You know, God is not, a lot of times, answers to prayer takes time. I don't know about you, but I've been praying about some things 20 years. Amen. But it's not God that's holding my prayers back. God heard my prayer the first time I prayed it. Just like Daniel, when he prayed, there was a war going on in the heavenlies. When you pray, there is a war going on in the heavenlies. But the Word of God said that He heard his prayers the first day he prayed. Amen. And so God is not holding back the answer to your prayers. He wants you to have your answer more than you want to have your answer. Amen. And that is exactly why prayer is so important, because we're cutting through those things. We've got our stick of dynamite. We're fixing to blow it up. Amen. We're going to blow up in the Spirit. Glory to God. So just like Daniel, you know, God has heard our prayers. Praise God. So don't give up on your answer. Your answer is on the way. You are going to give. You are going to get your answer. You're going to get your direction. You know, I don't know about you, but, well, I know all of us. Let me just say that this way. We've all got family members. We've been praying for forever, it seems like, forever. And it seems like they've gotten worse instead of better. Well, there's power going on when you pray, amen? We can't give up on people. We can't give up on situations. You know, there is a war going on in the spirit realm. And so we can't give up on that, amen? We can't look at it in the natural, amen? When we pray, we don't look at it in the natural. It is a spiritual thing. And so we are not going to give up. We're going to be persistent. We're going to be consistent, amen? And we're not going to let go. Matthew 7 and verse 7 in King James says, "Press through and keep pressing through. Be earnest." I'm sorry. That's not exactly what it said. Go back. Matthew 7:7. "Keep on asking," and this is King James, "keep on asking and it will be given you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you." So that's what we're doing in prayer. We're keeping on. We're pressing through. We're not giving up. Amen. We're standing that our answer is coming, that God is working things. You know, God's working things in the spirit realm, and sometimes that doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it can take years, because guess what? We're dealing a lot of times in prayer for people, and they have a will, and a lot of times their will isn't to serve God or do as the Word of God says. I have to say, you know, you have to just be stubborn as a mule. Amen? Be stubborn as a mule. Don't let go. You know, a mule will just put his legs down, and you can't pull that mule. He's not going to move. I have to tell you now about our little dog, Charlie. I think Charlie, now he is a Yorkie, and I think Charlie's got a little bit of mule in him. Now, Charlie is 17 years old. He does not know he's 17. He is like a pinball machine. He's boom, 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 you know, and he's stubborn. If you tell him to do something, he's going to do the opposite. So, you know, when we say Charlie, he's like, you know, he's in another zone. They're Charlie who? You know, I know they're not talking to me. So one time we were at Crystal, the Crystal on 280 bypass, and I forgot we had Charlie in the car. Now, y'all don't understand what I'm talking about when I talk about Charlie. You just cannot understand. He's a 10-pound Yorkie. Well, I rolled my window down, and Charlie was gone. He was so out of that window. And Pastor and I are both, we're trying to get out of the car as fast as we can. And we're hollering, Charlie, Charlie, Charlie. And Charlie thinks that means, run, Charlie, run. He does, honestly. And believe it or not, he has actually calmed down a little bit. Just that much. When we first got him, Pastor wanted a dog. So we decided we're going to get him from the Humane Society. So he sent me, he's working, we're working out there at the office, and he sent me, he said, go over there and see what kind of dogs they got, and, you know, pick out a dog. So I went over there very innocently, didn't know what I was doing, and they only brought one dog into the office, I should have said. They should have told me something. They brought one dog. They wanted to get rid of this dog. They didn't let me see any other dogs. And here he was. He looked so bad. I guess when they got him, they had to shave his hair off, all his hair on his body, but they left it like a lion's mane on his head. And he was the weirdest looking little dog. And I should have known, too, when the daughter of the woman that was running this place, the daughter came in, and the woman said, how was your trip to the vet? You know, and I thought, okay, you know, her and the dog went to the vet, big deal. And the daughter said, well, Charlie wanted to drive, you know. So anyway, I sat there for a little bit with Charlie, and he didn't pay any attention to me. But anyway, something said, get this dog. I hope it was God. I hope it was God, but I did have my doubts by the third day. I said, I'm calling these people. I got the wrong dog. And all the way home, and I couldn't explain it, all the way home from getting Charlie, he carried on so bad in the car, and he was at that pinball machine. He was everywhere, and I'm trying to drive, and I was out of gas, so I had to go to the gas station. So I go to the gas station, and I realize I cannot open my door. I can't open any door because Charlie will flee. He will run as hard as he can run. So I called Pastor at the office, and I said, you got to come over here. I got to get gas. And he said, well, did you get the dog? I said, yeah, I got the dog. That's why I can't get my gas on my own, because I got the dog. He said, what? Just get out of the car and get the gas. I said, I can't get out of the car. I can't do it. Y'all can't even imagine. I'm saying, this is one of the things where you would have had to seen it to believe it. And so Pastor comes to the gas station, puts my gas in, and I'm like, don't open the door, don't open the door. So we get home, and Charlie and Pastor's like, why did you get that dog? I said, I don't know. Something told me to get this dog, because he looked so funny, people. He was ugly. Let me just say it that way. You can't imagine a Yorkie being ugly. Well, this dog was. I mean, I'm serious. Now he is this cutest little thing you've ever seen. Little 10-pound cute Yorkie. But he had this ping pong thing going on and shrilling constantly. Well, they told me that he was in a pack of dogs, like they had 20 dogs. And the only way he could be heard, I guess, was to be, you know, and loud. And even when we would eat, he would sit there by our feet on the floor and growl at us. And I've never seen, I mean, the entire time, I've never seen a dog do that before. And it wasn't like he was going to attack us or anything, but he would just growl because that's what he was used to doing to get his food. He had all these big dogs and everything in the pack. I don't know how I got off on all this. He's like a mule. Thank you, Deborah, bringing me back. Yes. But he is like a mule. You could tell him to, you know, do one thing, and he's going to do the exact opposite. I had to pick him up last night because he was in my spot on the bed when I went to bed. And so I told Charlie, move. Charlie, get up. No, he wouldn't do it. So I picked him up. And sometimes you have to be careful picking Charlie up because he don't like to be picked up. So I picked him up, and his feet, all feet, going. All his feet going right in midair. And when I put him down, there goes the ping pong. Ping, whatever you call it. He was going. He was being Charlie. But anyway, with our prayers, I'll get back to praying. With our prayers, we have to be like a mule. We're not going to let anything, amen, steal our prayers from us. We're not going to allow anything to move us off of our prayer. Our answer is coming, amen. It is on the way. John 15:7 says, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Amen. It shall be done for you. Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, it's not always easy to get into prayer. It's not always easy. You know, sometimes we just have to fight that flesh. We have to press through those feelings, press through whatever kind of day we had, press through whatever kind of week we had, press through whatever went wrong, amen, to get into prayer. Hallelujah. So we have to, first of all, we've got to be determined to make prayer a priority. Because the enemy's going to give us all kind of reasons why we can't pray, you know? And one thing is, you know, that we live a busy life. Everybody lives a busy life. And sometimes we have to just make time to pray. We have to be determined. We have to make it a priority. I am going to pray. And what benefits we get out of praying, amen? It is so well worth it, amen? Lord, when we're praying, we are setting dynamite, amen? Explosive. We are blowing up the devil's plans. Amen? So it is so important. Prayer is so important. It is the one thing, the most powerful thing that we can do as a Christian. Amen? Is pray. We can't all go overseas and be missionaries. You know, we can't all be evangelists. We can't all do all these things. But we are all called to pray. So powerful. So important. Now, I noticed when Pastor and I pray together, we start out to pray sometimes, and we don't always know what we're going to pray. Now, some things we're writing down, you know, what we got to pray about. But sometimes when we get started in prayer, we don't know exactly what to pray for. So we'll start out praying in the Spirit. And, you know, it's a good thing to have the Spirit to pray through us. And we'll ask the Holy Spirit to how does that scripture say, Pastor? Take hold together with us against. Amen? So we'll pray in the Spirit. And as we're praying in the Spirit, things start coming up on the inside of us. It might be about a certain situation. And we'll get, you know, pray about this situation. Pray about that circumstance. Or it might be about people. A lot of times, you know, people's names will start coming up in our spirit. And so we'll start praying for that person. Excuse me. We'll pray in the Spirit, because even when the name comes up, you don't know exactly what to pray about for that person. So we'll pray in the Spirit, and then we'll pray in our understanding, because the Lord might give you a word, you know, one little word or a sentence or something to pray over that person. And so we'll start praying that over the person. And then another powerful prayer is to pray scriptures. Scriptures are so powerful to pray. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is quick and powerful. It is quick and powerful. So how can you pray a powerful prayer? Pray the word of God. Find scripture in the word of God and pray that over your situation. Pray that over the person the Holy Spirit has given you to pray for. And that word quick means to move fast, prompt. It means acting with speed, fast in development, rapidly, alive, shifting. So we might could say, you know, that praying the word is rapidly shifting things. Amen? It is rapidly shifting things in the Spirit. It's moving things in the Spirit. Amen? And it is powerful. I think we really need to get that word down on the inside of us. Your prayers are powerful. Amen? You might think my prayers are pitiful. No, they're not pitiful. They are powerful. So I want to give you a challenge this morning. Don't we love challenges? We had one honest person over here. Okay, I love challenges. Amen? But I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge each and every one of you today to pray more. I'm not saying you've got to spend 8 hours a day praying. Amen. Pastor and I will usually pray until we feel a release, till we feel a peace come over us. And then we're like, yeah, the Lord's through. Amen. You know, the Holy Spirit's through right now. And so pray, challenge, put that challenge out there. Pray more and pray boldly. Amen. Pray boldly. And remember that your prayers are powerful. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Powerful prayer. Amen. Praise God. I call Pastor Rock up at this time. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Give him a hand clap as he comes today.
Praise God. That was awesome. Wow. Praise God. Glory to God. That was the Thanksgiving meal. I want to read you a scripture in 1 John 5:14-15. This is in the King James. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So if we ask anything according to His will, now another way to say that would be according to His Word. If we pray in line with the Word of God, we're asking according to His will. So pray in line with God's Word, that is His will, not according to our will. Now that's one of the promptings that I got to teach today was that, you know, a lot of times we like to pray our will over people's lives. We have a son, Benjamin, and he has lived all over the United States. His job has taken him all over everywhere. And he, you know, just many different things about his job. But one way we have not prayed for Benjamin is we haven't prayed, now, God, you keep him here. You don't let him go to this other state. You don't put him in that kind of job that he's going to be moving around in. See, I'm putting my will into this prayer, and I'm messing it up. I'm gonna miss it because I'm not praying in line with God's word. And so now with Benjamin, we got it right. We prayed that the eyes of his understanding would be enlightened according to the hope of his calling, because he's got his own calling. The way that your child or your friend or your loved one is gonna be safe is if they're in the will of God. Not in our will. It may hurt us sometimes. It may, you know, cause us loneliness or whatever sometimes, but we've got to pray the will of God over people's lives, not our personal. We don't, as they used to say, I don't have a dog in the race. I don't have a dog in the fight. Is that what it was? I don't have a dog in the fight. But we don't pray our will, because a lot of people will. They'll pray, well, now, Father, you don't let them marry so-and-so, because I don't like so-and-so. And I don't think that would turn out very good. That's wrong. You're going to have to put your feelings aside and let the Holy Spirit pray it. Like she's talking about, we're yielding to the Holy Spirit. We're yielding to the Word of God, and that's our authority. And that's the way these prayers are just going to be dynamic. They're going to be effective, because our friends and family, they need to be in the perfect will of God. We need to be in the perfect will of God. So my go-to scripture is Ephesians 1:18, and I pray that the eyes of your heart, the very center and core of your being, may be enlightened, flooded with light by the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 1:18, King James, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I pray this almost of every single member that we've got. I can't think of a member that I hadn't prayed it for, because I don't know the will of God in your specific situations, but we pray it, and then we just kind of go from there. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So I must pray, and you must pray, in line with the Word. Now, here's the part that I'm supposed to get to today, is I must put my mouth, I must talk in line with the Word. Now here's the deal. We want to be more effective in our prayers. We have got to not only pray about the situation, but any words that come out of our mouth after we've said that prayer, not just here in the church or wherever we're at, but any words that come out of our mouth, they got to line up with the Word of God. Because if they don't, we're giving the enemy an access to mess us up. Proverbs 6:2, and this is in the complete Jewish Bible, you've been snared by the words of your mouth, caught by the words of your own mouth. So my words many times have locked me into a deal with the stranger, the enemy. I have spoken wrong words that agree with what the enemy has said, not what God's Word says. So my prayers get snared and made ineffective, but it's my words that are doing it, not God. God's wanting our prayers to be answered, just like she's saying. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. He's wanting everything that you pray. Pray in line with the Word of God. He's wanting that thing for you. He's wanting it. He's wanting just to perform these prayers. But we're messing them up with our... We're being snared. We're snaring ourselves and our prayers by the words of our mouth. I've been praying one thing and saying something else. That needs to marinate for a minute. Because that's the thing. We want to be more effective. Here it is. This is the big key. I have been praying one thing and saying something else. So if we want to see more prayer results, we're going to have to put a filter on our mouth. Point at your neighbor and say, you need a filter on your mouth. I like the way Patty did that. She pointed at Bean and Derek. Y'all both need filters on your mouth. Y'all enjoyed that, putting filters on the neighbor's mouth. That was pretty good. So wrong talking will nullify the effects of our praying. So if we're praying for a financial breakthrough, but talking our current circumstances of lack, we aren't holding our mouth right, according to the Word of God. We got to learn the vocabulary of silence over our current circumstances and stay in agreement with God's Word. That, okay, I'm standing on, I'm believing for finances, I'm believing for financial increase, I'm believing for provision in a certain situation. Okay, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need, okay, I'm going to personalize it, all my need, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, so I got to be very careful if I'm going to give commentary after I've said this prayer. Any commentary I say after this prayer, the enemy's going to do his best to use it against me. You understand? He's going after my words to see if they give him access, and he's going to legally use those words against me. We can't we got to be careful with the commentary because our flesh wants to talk our circumstances so bad. The wrong commentary is nullifying the effects of our prayers. Commentary that's not in line with the Word. So if I speak what I feel or my current situation or my checkbook balance in this situation, then we're canceling our prayers. That commentary is stopping us from getting results. Okay? I'll give you an example. Years ago, I was praying over the messages that we're delivering and we're praying for and we're believing because we believe that God's got a specific message for every group of people. I know that, you know, there's 1,000 messages that anyone could preach or teach. You know, if you're anointed to preach or teach, I get that. But I believe this very firmly, that there's a rhema. There's a certain rhema for a certain group of people in a certain gathering, and I believe you're supposed to draw up the rhema. And that's what we believe to do, and that's the reason we spend a little extra time, because it takes longer time to get the rhema. I mean, we can just get a topic and do it from topic to topic, but maybe that's not the topic that the Holy Spirit has got. It's a good topic. It's God-ordained topic, but maybe it's not the topic for that day. You understand, God's got a rhema word for you and for I for a specific day, for a specific group of people. Okay, I said all that to say this. I was praying to get the messages that you know, and here's what I'm saying. I'm saying this thing is hard. I ain't hearing nothing. I mean, I ain't hearing nothing. It is hard, and it seems like it's getting harder every week. Every week it seems like I just don't hear, and it's not like I'm not seeking. I'm seeking, but I ain't hearing it. I ain't getting it. Holy Spirit quickened me one day, and He said, "You ain't getting it because of the way you're talking." And it was really a revelation to me. And I didn't realize my mouth, my big mouth, look at your neighbor, and just point at your neighbor. You ain't even got to say they got a big mouth. You just got to point at your neighbor and just say, you know. But it was my big mouth. I was being snared by my big mouth. Can you see that? I was saying the wrong things. And so when I got the revelation from the Holy Spirit, I started saying, I get the messages easily and effortlessly. And I remember the first time I ever said that, my mind went tilt. No, you don't. You ain't never got them easily and effortlessly. What is this? And I kept saying it. And I kept saying it. And I'm not experiencing it. I kept saying it. I'm not experiencing it. I kept saying it. I'm not experiencing it. I kept saying it. Not experiencing it. And then it started changing. Then it started, I mean, I could get a message doing anything now. I could go out and wash the windshield on your car and I can get a message. I mean, it just comes to me. It's just like that. I can open any book and boom, I can watch a TV commercial and get the message. I'm telling you, it just comes so easily. And I have got more messages than I'll ever be able to preach. Now, you understand, because I've still got to discern what message for what group of people, you understand. But it's not hard to get the messages. The messages come. But I changed the way I'm holding my mouth. Okay. That's all we're going to do today. I got lots more, but that's all we're going to do today. I believe that's what we're supposed to do today. And I asked Deborah if she's closing out today, if she would come at this time. Glory to God. Glory to God.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that He has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of Him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, acionlinegiving.com/4833. 32, or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.